welcome to the Window Light Podcast for the Unexplained. This is episode 11, and we are recording on the 15th day of April. Anything?
Tax day? I don't know.
That's the 18th.
Oh. Did they change it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to do tax day on
Take an extra Saturday. Hour a day and 3 days extra to do your taxes.
Yeah.
Yes. Anything else special happened today on the 15th of April?
When did the Titanic sink? Yesterday?
Probably. I think it's today.
Really?
Probably not. Wouldn't you look? Oh, we should ask Chatbot.
Oh, Chatbot's the best.
Chatbot probably knows.
She knows everything.
April 15th events. The British luxury passenger liner Titanic sank. How did you know that?
Perfect.
What did you ask him for? Clearly, did you say I said that? It.
See, once again, I have trouble telling Koi and Gretchen apart.
Yeah.
Because I love them equally.
It is smart to look to the man, though. Like, if you think someone said something right to
it. Well, that's what a woman's place is. Obviously, if something smart was said, it was a man.
Yeah, you're right. In this case, I said it, but he backed me up.
And that was called satire. We didn't mean.
Except when she said she loved us both. She didn't.
That part was true.
I do love them both equally. I'd like that to be on the record.
I think we have a couple of
disclaimers. So noted, madam.
We have a couple of disclaimers we need to get out there. Right now we have a very wild, worked up cat flying around our recording studio. This will probably be the last time we record in this current situation. We'll be in a different recording studio for next week. So we just ask your forgiveness and tolerance for this. We also just ate some very large bowls of chicken and dumplings. So our voices probably aren't... And this is... You know, we're breaking
worst
many
conditions
breaking many podcasting rules today. And now he's just biting the elephant's tusk. I mean, you see that happening, right?
Well, he only has one tusk left, so we better leave it alone. He gets excited when we talk about unexplained things, and he doesn't know what to do.
We had a slight delay in recording last week due to some unforeseen circumstances. So instead, we put together it was kind of a clip show, an outtakes episode, and I mentioned that our initial plan was to discuss the outing that you both took over to the Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond, Virginia, not in Hollywood, California, because we do not live in California, but there's a place called the Hollywood Cemetery here in Richmond that features a couple of paranormal, unexplained, fun things. What made you both want to go up there and check it out?
I think we'd both each been there once, not together, but I wanted to spend more time there. Like, I wasn't there for a long time the first time I went. And even though there's a lot of ghost kind of stories connected to it, I get a good feeling there. Like, I feel like it's a really good vibe place.
It's actually a very uplifting place. Like, it's got very good energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that from the first time I went. So, yeah, I thought it would be a fun outing.
And it's beautiful. Like, it's well known. It's supposed to be, like, one of the most visited cemeteries, I think, in the country. That's not, like, a national, you know, park. Or obviously, the one up in D.C. is probably the most visited. But I think it's one of the most... Yeah, it's beautiful. It'd be a lovely place to go visit people that... Your loved ones that were buried there.
Yeah, definitely. And it wasn't as busy when we went, but the first time we went, it was packed. Like, there were a lot of people.
Oh,
there.
Really? Yeah. I think both times a year I went, it was just off times a year, so.
It was kind of overcast and rainy when we went, so.
I was about to ask you what the weather was like when you went there.
Yeah.
Was it overcast and rainy both times?
No, the first time it was sunny and hot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but the cherry blossoms were out. Like, things were starting to bloom just a little bit.
Very pretty.
It's very pretty.
Well, what did you do there? What did you see there this last time?
Well, our main goal was to see if we could come across any unusual activity or get any weird vibes or, you know, see what we could find that might be worthy of talking about on the podcast.
That's good. And and I also gave you my little ghost hunting kit,
which we knew how to use.
You 5 minutes of a tutorial on it, and just so the audience knows, it contained a pendulum. It contained two cat toys that flash that I've been told.
I forgot to turn on.
Great. Oh, that.
But we'll talk about that. Place them places, and so you put, nothing happened.
The cat toys are supposed to flash when something interacts with them, but you didn't know to turn them on. But you did place them around.
Yes.
Well, that's a start.
And we looked really good with it.
It was a good practice session.
Yeah.
Good.
And we the envy of all the patrons. Few
people that saw us were like, these are professionals.
Let's get out of their way immediately.
Yeah.
Excellent. Now, there was also a EMF reader in there that I showed you how to use and this device will pick up electromagnetic fields, waves, energies, and things. And there was also a voice recorder.
Which we utilized.
Great. And there was also a spirit box and a blindfold that I am assuming Gretchen wanted nothing to do with.
I didn't know that was even in the box. And I did she not probably didn't tell me that on it was purpose. In the box. There's no way I would have ever.
No.
Or allowed her to do such a thing.
We used the digital camera.
Oh, the digital camera from 1998? Did it take amazing pictures? Oh, it did, because I downloaded them. They looked pretty good.
Yeah.
We didn't see anything in the pictures, but it was a good looking.
I think you missed the part when we said we were professionals now.
Yeah. Yes. 1998, everyone knows that's the best year for digital cameras.
Look, when I put the kit together, it said you need to include a digital camera. Don't just use your phone. That was the only digital camera that I had. It is not...
Well, those are the best ones.
It's not a high quality camera.
We took pictures with both, just in case. And we tried out the recorder, and we used the EMF, and we used the cat toys. So poorly.
Just didn't turn them on. Okay, well, what's the first thing you looked at out there?
So when you first walk into Hollywood Cemetery, the first thing you're hit with is a line of holly trees.
Mm-hmm. Big ones, like you've never, well, I'm not saying you've never seen such big ones.
Which I think is how they got their name.
Yeah.
Because the trees were there when the cemetery was established.
And they actually have a lot of information there at the cemetery, on the cemetery, but you can look up the information too, and it's in a lot of the Virginia ghost books and, you know, local things like that. But when we looked it up, it was designed, I guess, like in 1847 on purpose because it was so green and lush and pretty and people could get away from the city to visit it. That was like a popular thing to do, I guess.
That's interesting that you say that it was surrounded by holly trees.
Mm-hmm.
Because isn't the wood of the holly tree supposed to have some alleged magical properties, or at least historically was used in the creation of magic wands?
Mm-hmm. It was one of the preferred woods for making your wand out of, yeah.
What about why? Okay, that's fine. You don't know, that. I just thought you might have known.
Did Harry Potter have a Hollywood?
I remember wand? One of them was springy and holly.
Oh.
And it said that when we looked it up, it said Druids regarded holly as a symbol of fertility and eternal life, thought to have magical powers. In Druid lore, cutting down a holly tree would bring bad luck. In contrast, hanging the plant in homes was believed to bring good luck and protection.
Mm-hmm.
Well-known conspiracy theory scholar, esoteric scholar, Jordan Maxwell, if you're familiar with Jordan Maxwell's work, said in probably all of his lectures about the holly tree and using it to make magic wands, and that Hollywood is still casting their magic spell on us to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Apparently, people used to bring it into their homes also to protect their homes from fairies.
As if you would want to do such a thing.
Which it did not repel Gretchen at all. We still went in.
We still went in.
Yeah.
With no resistance. But I think
it's
whatsoever.
Malevolent fairies, not the good ones.
Oh, good.
Yeah. The good ones are like, come on in.
Well, you said the vibes made you feel good when you were mm-hmm. both in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's even cool. One of the first, I guess, did we go up to the WW pool crypt, like, initially? That was like one of the first things we saw.
Yeah, we had to wait for it to this other couple ahead of us to clear out, and it was...
And they didn't have equipment.
We pretended to look at other things while we were waiting.
Now, who's WW Pool?
WW Pool is the man who is entombed in Hollywood Cemetery that is rumored to be a vampire.
How would such rumors begin?
Well, as rumors often do, it's with a man fleeing England.
Oh, boy.
Because when you flee somewhere, especially England,
you're probably a vampire.
You're probably up to no good.
You're a murderer or a vampire.
You've got Richmond, Virginia on your mind.
Or a Protestant.
Could. Well, they're a Protestant nation, so it's probably a Catholic, you mean.
What were the pilgrims?
They were the wrong kind of Protestant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
The boring ones.
We'll do another show on the pilgrims.
Yeah. They wanted, like, no decorations and whatever. They didn't even like to dance.
Except those buckles on their hats. They did like that decoration. We've clearly done a lot of reading on the pilgrims.
So they were running the vampires out of England, and he was one of them. And he came to Richmond, Virginia.
Yes.
I think he was just a regular old gent. I don't think he was a... Well, because we didn't... We
have no proof one way or the other.
Yeah. It's it's very sketchy, the origins. Anyway, when we got there, it didn't seem bad at all. Like, we didn't feel any bad energy. Mm-mm. Like, it was just a nice... We left him a four-leaf clover.
We did.
That we found instantly.
And so here's an interesting fact about Gretchen. We will be walking. We walk around together a lot. Talk real fast and animatedly.
Nope, not a word.
Whatever. And we do animated. That.
And turbulated.
And then out of the blue, she stops and leans down and picks up a four-leaf clover without even looking around and hands it to me. And this has happened like at least four times.
I know. I've seen her do it here when we're walking. Like, oh, here's one. Here you go.
And probably more times because she's a clover hand.
Is that a thing? Clover hand?
She's trying to get me to read this book, but it's making me think I don't want to read it because I don't know if the clover hand is good.
Fairies are attracted to certain kinds of humans called clover hands, and they send them four-leaf clovers so they can look into the fairy world. So anyway, she found one while we were there, and we left it for Mr. Poole. So Mr. Poole, this poor guy, some rich guy fled England. He probably actually just moved out of England, but the rumor is he fled and that he was rumored to be odd and people allegedly talked about him in his lifetime, although you can't really find any proof on that when you look him up. The only fact you can actually find is when he was buried and he was entombed in the cemetery. He has a very nice tomb with some lambs on it.
Yeah, which doesn't seem very vampire-y. Not goats. Yes, right. The right kind of cloven hoof. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's got to be something. I mean, why a vampire? Where does that come from?
Well, the rumor started because of a railway accident.
Yeah, like a tunnel collapse or something. And I think, I guess it was in the 1920s or something.
1925, Churchill train tunnel.
Yeah, and supposedly they were like digging people out and somebody came out and he was all bloodied and he like ran to the cemetery and everybody said like he
ran into that tomb.
So we can't tell if people were already talking about him beforehand or if just that incident.
Then the rumors backdated, you know.
Yeah.
As they do.
Yeah. And especially like I always feel bad for people just because if they're odd, you know, or a loner, then they're a witch or a vampire or something bad.
Oh. Was he a rich guy?
Well, he's a businessman. If you look at his tomb, I would say so. Like, unless that's where he put all his money into that. Bought it beforehand or something. But
any family still in the area?
Not that we could find.
And we didn't even see other tombstones that said Poole, did we?
Mm-mm.
So probably a vampire then.
So, so yeah.
That's all I know. That's all the evidence I need. So what'd you do there at the tomb to check it out? Well, other than leaving the clover.
Once it cleared out, we got out our equipment.
Yeah. We had to wait for that couple to leave.
Yeah. The whole two people. We had to get them to clear out. And then we set up our equipment, so we put the cat balls in the corners of the tomb.
And did not turn them on.
We forgot to turn them on. I didn't know. What am I supposed to do, you know? Know everything?
Hindsight, whatever.
We snapped some pictures from various angles, and then we got out the voice recorder. And the trick with the voice recorder, as you told me, is to ask questions and then allow some silence to see if you hear anything in the recording after you listen to it, which we did. And then when we listened back to it, we did hear a faint kind of whoosh in the background.
How'd it go again?
Whoosh. Yeah. It was. It was like spooky wind leaving.
Going through a tunnel that's collapsing, perhaps.
I had not thought of that.
But we were nowhere near any traffic, and we were not near the river yet.
Because that is one feature of the cemetery. It is like, it's like if you go to Central Park or something, like unless you're standing in a place where you can see all the buildings, it does feel like you're not in a big city.
Mm-hmm. So yes, it could have been some stray noise from somewhere else, but we weren't close.
Right.
We were fully into the cemetery at this point. It is near the beginning, but we're fully in past the holly trees and everything. So this is Jamie here with
Gretchen.
And we are standing outside of the WW Poole Mausoleum in the Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond, Virginia, where allegedly the Richmond vampire has been spotted. So we have got out our EMF reader. So far, so good. Sweeping the area. Looks like there's not very much activity today. If there is an entity here, would you like to tell us anything? So that was the only
strangeness. And you can judge for yourself.
Yeah. And we got the EMF reader out. We couldn't get
any readings. And I think you spoke to him and gave him an opportunity to say something back or to identify himself.
You gave him a chance.
We gave him a shot. But he didn't. I don't know. We did. We left and we wanted him to rest in peace, like before we moved on to
more
stuff.
Every time we passed near him, there were people like
you can definitely tell
around his tomb.
And isn't there like there are people that like go and do little, I don't know, ceremonies or whatever around him.
If people are anything like they are on a lot of these ghost hunting shows that you see on the Travel Channel stuff, where they're literally antagonizing these spirits and trying to make them have a reaction, I think people that go to that tomb are probably doing that.
And they're probably leaving all kinds of negative energy around.
And not only is that not cool, but it's also dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you... Who wants to get haunted?
Yeah.
You know?
His tomb has two iron gates in front of the
entrance. That was a little weird. And there's almost little windows, right? Weren't there like two little windows and they also had iron in front of them?
So he can see out.
Or you can see in.
Or is the iron keeping him in?
Was it iron?
Yeah, because it was all rusty.
The way it rusted, you could tell it was iron. And there was, between the two gates, there was some weird artificial flowers.
Yeah, and it, actually, we saw a sign that said absolutely no artificial flowers.
So like, somebody got some in there.
Yeah, they threw some petals in there, which he would not appreciate.
No.
He does not seem like a
He's
guy
a
that
real
would
flower
want.
Kind of man.
He is a real flower kind of guy.
And one of the... Any of the negativity that might be associated with him, too, could be the fact that once the vampire rumors started, it attracted the attention of Satanists.
Yeah.
And because they believed a vampire to be there, there has been occasions where Satan worshippers have snuck into the cemetery and late at night had rituals around his tomb.
And someone told me there was a guy that, like, used to hang around the cemetery and be a vampire. Like, he didn't actually, like...
Like, reenact a vampire?
Right, he didn't
vampire reenact. Reenactor.
We sure can attract him. I think he just would, like, pretend to be a vampire and, like, walk around and be spooky and stuff like that, which...
Not cool.
Yeah, it's too classy of a cemetery for that kind of shenanigans. Yeah.
But because we asked, you know, we showed respect and asked nice questions, and I felt good energy around...
Yeah, I did too.
Area.
Or just almost just like non-energy. Like it didn't even feel.
It just vibed with the rest of the place.
Yeah, just vibed with the rest of the place. That's a good way to put it.
The thing I was trying to remember, I thought I read it in a book, but it was just on Wikipedia, and it.
Same
it
difference.
It says, according to a story, the tunneling. You know, where the tunnel
like
was.
A horror movie.
The tunneling awakened an ancient evil that lived under Church Hill and brought the tunnel crashing down on the workers. Rescue teams found an unearthly, blood-covered creature with jagged teeth and skin hanging from its muscular body, crouching over one of the victims. The creature escaped from the cave-in and raced toward the James River. Pursued by a group of men, the creature took refuge in Hollywood Cemetery, where it disappeared in the mausoleum built into the hillside bearing the name W.W. Poole. So some story is not W.W. Poole at all, but some other thing that went into his tomb.
So maybe that's why we felt fine vibes over by him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that thing may not even live there anymore.
Well, yeah, he was just seeking refuge.
Mm-hmm.
According to Gregory Maitland, an urban legend and folklore researcher with the paranormal research group Night Shift, the creature that escaped the tunnel collapse was actually 28-year-old railroad fireman Benjamin F. Mosby, who had been shoveling coal into the firebox of a steam locomotive of a work train with no shirt on when the cave-in occurred and the boiler ruptured. Mosby's upper body was horribly scalded and several of his teeth were broken before he made his way through the opening of the tunnel. Witnesses reported he was in shock and layers of his skin were hanging from his body. He died later at Grace Hospital and was buried at Hollywood Cemetery. So maybe it was just this young man and not a creature.
Yeah, and I guess if he's all bloody and teeth were all broken, maybe he looked kind of vampire-y.
Look, it could be either way.
It could go either way.
So well, it's either a vampire that fled Europe or a monster that came out of the ground from the tunneling.
Right.
Or a railroad coal man with no shirt on.
So, all right. Well.
Or these are just stories to distract us from the truth.
Or WW.
Yeah. Well, maybe the rumor was started as some sort of cover-up because somebody did something wrong to cause the and so they tried to distract from their own mistake by
which happens because didn't that happen in Richmond? Like, wasn't there a theater around I don't know sometime in the 1800s and it burned to the ground and killed like hundreds of people that were in it, and it was like I don't know faulty something or other, and their idea was to just close down theaters. Like, it was theaters fault, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Like, we won't go to theaters anymore. Clearly, that's the devil's work, you know, instead of just building a proper structure that doesn't collapse and set on fire.
Now, we all know the accuracy of Wikipedia is not to be questioned. Mm-hmm. But it does say here that supposedly Poole was run out of England, as you both said, in the 1800s for being a vampire, as I said. Oral legends to this effect were circulated by the 1960s. They may be influenced by the architecture of the tomb, which has both Masonic and ancient Egyptian elements, the double W's looking much like fangs. Because this cemetery is adjacent to Virginia Commonwealth University, or VCU, the story became popular among students and blah, blah, blah.
Hmm. Well, we'll post the pictures that we took during our visit after the episode.
We will
so
post
that,
them.
You could take a look at the architecture. I mean, you can look it up online, but it's we'll better when that. Gretchen and I are in the pictures.
Yes,
so.
We'll post that. We'll post your pictures, and we'll post the sound that you got in the
whoosh sound.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what else did you see there?
Then we moved on. I think we were trying to go down by the river because it's very hilly. Like, I know that's pretty obvious if you've ever been to Richmond. There's a lot of hills. But it's incredibly hilly. Like, it's sometimes hard to get to certain tombstones and crypts and stuff because
the hills are very steep.
Very steep, yeah. So you kind of have to move around. Is that like before we got to Jefferson Davis, like when you started talking about Lindsay?
Mm-hmm. I think that was the next major thing that happened. You know, we saw some very interesting architecture with some of the tombstones, and we, you know, marveled at those for a little while because some of them were really cool. A lot of them had
beautiful
nature elements, and there's a lot of animal effigies.
Yes, there were so many
on a lot of the tombs.
Trees, like tree trunks, like whole tree trunks and stuff. Flowers.
A lot of similar last names, so we were comparing.
And some that you don't even hear anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it's interesting to me. Like, you look at all these surnames, and you've never really heard them because they just fall out. You know, I guess if there's no more.
Mm-hmm.
Males in the line with that surname.
And then I saw several tombstones in a row with the name Lizzie, and I commented that I feel like ghosts are always named Lizzie, like not just people who have passed, but right. when you actually hear a ghost story of somebody coming back, I feel like Lizzie is a common name.
Yeah.
That may not even be true, but the thought just came to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we giggled about it, and then yeah. we kept walking, and
it's
then...
never a Beth or an Elizabeth, it's a Lizzie, you
know? It's always a Lizzie. And then we went up, to, and there was all those pretty cherry trees, and I think we were taking pictures just
because it was
so pretty.
There's a creeper behind one of them, but we continued on.
We kept it moving.
A human creeper?
Yeah, it was yeah. a for real human creeper. Probably we should be more terrified of him than yeah. any yes. of the things we will discuss
hoodie wearing,
today.
You can't trust it.
Yeah. Leaning against a random... tomb, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yes.
Tomb leaders, not for us.
And then I think you wanted to do the record. No,
I,
you
then
just
I
had
took
that thing
out. The EMF thing yeah. again, just because I was like, well, we're in a concentrated tomb area, so let me try this again. And I had tried it a few times before this, hadn't got any readings, and then I walked by kind of a rectangular standing tombstone, and it went off.
And I was like, ah! And so we looked... back, and darned if it wasn't a Lizzie.
Mm-hmm. And I got it to do it once or twice more, but yeah. then we, and so then we took out my camera to video it, and then it, of course it wouldn't do it again. But,
yeah.
So the meter only went off a couple of times around that?
Around the
yeah.
Lizzie
Yeah, I don't
one.
Think it went
yeah.
off again. I mean,
not
we didn't have it on
time,
the whole time,
yeah.
but no, I don't think it yeah. went off again.
Hmm. And for that thing to work, it does require there to be electromagnetic frequencies going on.
Yeah, and there was nothing electronical around. Electronical.
No.
Wow. That's good.
It's another good one.
Again, we are not professionals. Anything at all.
I'm a
at
professional
all,
speechifier.
Just, we're just letting you in on our conversations.
Yeah.
Do not expect this to make any sense
mm-mm.
or to the, you will not be able to verify anything we're saying. You don't have to listen if you don't want to. So we're going to say dumb things sometimes.
Yeah.
But we encourage you to continue on with our journey here. So no what'd you say? Electronical
No
things.
Electronical equipment anywhere near us. It was
now,
we were in the dead center of the cemetery at that point.
Just to play the skeptic. About. Just to play the skeptic here, though. Were your cell phones on and on your bodies?
Not...
I thought we had taken them off to take pictures because, mm-hmm. like, we had them in our purses, our bags, little satchels or whatever, and I thought we set them down.
Yeah, we had set down our baggagery.
We Do
had,
either of you
we,
have
We each had two bags with us, so we did a lot of setting down of our bags and then wandering off.
Well, now, the other thing we'd want to look at is, you know, how many rocks and minerals have an electronic charge within them, that whatever this tombstone was made out of.
It was just
could have also been emitting yeah. some kind of
But it was
radiation.
A very eerie feeling when it happened.
Because it was not too long after you had made that comment about all ghosts are named Lizzie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then the other
then
thing is...
Then we saw the creeper, then it went off.
And the other thing we talked about during the last episode, or the one before, who knows now at this point, that we had discussed the fact that certain audio anomalies that are picked up on recorders aren't really just because the recorder is picking it up, but the presence is using the electricity that's in the device and is giving it some amount of power. So huh. not only did you speak this person's name, which gives it power, but you also mm-hmm. brought a very highly charged electronic device around, which could have woken it up.
And do you ever like wonder like how long it's been since somebody has visited one of those graves? Like, you know, like people probably, especially if it was like somebody young or somebody really beloved, people would have come to visit it all the time. And then at some point, probably nobody visits it, right? Like
right.
all the people pass away or move on.
Mm-hmm.
So did she like perk up hearing her name? You know,
very
was there something like nobody said her name in a long time mm-hmm. going past or whatever?
It's as possible as anything else we've said. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's a thought anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like we posed by that cherry tree for our album covers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then
we
put our
those.
Stuff down by the tree, and then mm-hmm. I walked over that way, and it went off.
Yeah. And then you kind of, like, walked back, and it did it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed it was Lizzie.
Yeah. And then we were like, and then I had to go get the phone out of the bag, and then we tried to do a video, but it didn't.
Yeah. Didn't.
Well, we can always go back and try again and see what we see. All right. So you got... an audible sigh off of the vampire,
mm-hmm.
and you got a ping for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. on the EMF reader from Miss Lizzie Stark, who we should probably do some digging into and add to the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who knows? Probably something we could have done before we recorded this episode. Let's find out who she is and what her...
We're not the best planners.
No. What her story is. That's all right. Well, what else did you do?
So another thing about Hollywood Cemetery is there's an incredible amount of Confederate soldiers buried there and generals, 28 Confederate generals.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's a lot, and mm-hmm. including George Pickett and Jeb Stuart.
Oh.
And also mm-hmm. Jefferson Davis.
Yep. J.E.B. Stuart. J.E.B.
James Ewell Brown Stuart is buried there. Two United States presidents,
mm-hmm.
James Monroe and John Tyler.
Oh, they're the best.
Yeah, they're all right. And
just kidding. Wow.
They're great. They're from Virginia.
Not a Tippecanoe fan?
I like Tyler, too. No, they're okay. I do wonder why John Tyler's not buried at Sherwood Forest.
I've always wondered that, too. It seems strange.
Because his grandson's still alive.
Maybe it's just because all the cool kids were getting buried at Hollywood.
I think that's probably something to mm-hmm. that. Yeah. So because of all these, and there's like a pyramid. So how many Confederate soldiers are there? Like 18,000 or something?
18,000, I believe, yeah.
And you better get that number right. Is it 18,000 or 1,800?
It's 18,000, over 18,000.
No, 1,800.
Okay, that's better.
Are you sure? Because there's 3,000 from Gettysburg alone.
No, I'm never sure.
Oh.
All right. Well, 18,000.
I think it's something nuts like that. I don't know.
Maybe.
Buried under a pyramid?
No, there's just a pyramid over there, and I think.
Oh, it's just like. It's just a.
Let me look it up.
Some POWs help. I don't know. Or maybe some.
What are we trying to say? What is it? It's a memorial.
A memorial.
Yes. To some 18,000.
I think it is
Confederate
that.
I'll soldiers.
I think we saw Jefferson Davis next.
Yeah.
And what was interesting about that?
It was I think his daughter, somebody put
18,000.
Yeah. They put his memorial, and on each side they had things, and we didn't even see the Confederacy stuff at first. It was like all about West Point and everything he did, maybe during the Mexican-American War. I don't know. But it had all of the American stuff about him
mm-hmm.
on most of it. And then on the very back, it had something about him being a Confederate.
Yes, they would.
Yeah, but it did seem like his family was like wanting to talk about his service to the United States.
Yeah.
More than.
Well, I would think that would be much better for the press anyway.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about it is that we were, looking around, and then Gretchen glances across the way, and there's a giant tomb on that he's facing, that his statue's facing. And what's the name on it?
It's Grant. Not the Grant's tomb, but a Grant's tomb.
It just says Grant real big.
Really big. Yeah. And that's what the Jefferson's Davis is looking at.
So he's got to stare at that for the rest of his eternity.
Yeah. He's supposed to be facing the river, and then they put a Grant right in front of him, in between him and the river.
It's just like, you're just never done being punished.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
That's what happens when you rebel. Self-loathing,
yeah. Failed rebellion, mm-hmm. you know.
I wonder what was a pyramid.
Oh, the pyramid. We didn't go over to it.
We didn't because, for one, we had so much else going on. We had, we had already gone over quite a bit of property. We'd already had a couple experiences, and it was getting late, and we didn't want to get stuck in traffic.
Oh,
and...
But wait, tell about the first time you went to Hollywood Cemetery. The funny story about...
Oh. And I had 2 years, so I realized that it was about 2 years before Gretchen and I went, almost exactly, that I had visited. So it was around the same time of year. And the group of people I was with, we went over and checked out the really cool pyramid. And I looked up from the pyramid as they were like talking about something off to the side. And then two people in Confederate clothing were coming up over the hill from the main graveyard area. So the smaller markers for the soldiers, these two guys in Confederate uniforms come, coming through. And I was like, guys, help.
Didn't you ask them if they were ghosts?
Yeah. I was like, are you ghosts? And they were like, no. we're doing a ceremony.
Wow. So they were trying to do something. At the
pyramid. And then like a couple minutes later, a bunch of their buddies came up too,
but it's,
yeah,
I just think that's funny.
Yeah. And I would imagine a lot of Confederate war reenactors probably do go to the cemetery.
Well, it's very well kept, that portion of it. I was surprised how well kept those tombstones were.
Yeah.
Well, apparently this was a style used at the time, part of the Egyptian revival funerary architecture. It was generally an extravagance of American tycoons who wanted themselves remembered as long and as well as the ancient pharaohs. So that's why
I think
pyramids started popping up all over cemeteries.
Was it convicts? Was it people in prison that built it?
Local jailhouses, yeah.
And didn't they, a lot of people die?
Yeah, so there's stories about the tomb being cursed because a lot of people, there was a lot of weird, odd accidents that happened during it. They had them on like a ridiculous, brutal work detail. Mm-hmm. You know, it took them over a year to build it. And I think a few people died.
Yeah. And I think the guy that put like placed like the final piece, the final point, like it was such a, he like volunteered for it. Mm-hmm. And it was such a scary job that volunteered. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're a prisoner, I guess you, Jamie's doing finger quotes, voluntold to go up there. And I think it was so scary. They said that either he did die or he got pardoned because it was such a scary job.
Yeah. They gave him an unofficial pardon.
Yeah.
But because they had been through so much over that year trying to get that done.
Yeah.
And then one of the tales surrounding the pyramid is that people feel a burst of ice cold air when they're along the rear wall. And that they hear whispers of restless spirits in their ears when they walk by. And I think some people have heard disembodied moans at dawn and dusk around the pyramid.
Because that is a lot of people to be interred. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, and with that many, and with that many soldiers, you know, like all of the, just the restlessness and the violence around warfare anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then convicts, you know, people in prison being forced to do this physical labor. It is a lot of negative kind of.
Yeah.
So we saw it in the distance and we had both seen it before. Yeah. So we didn't really stop there because if you make the turn, that's when we came upon the dog.
Yeah. So instead we checked out the ghost dog, which I find a little bit more fascinating than whispers around a pyramid built by convicts. Now that I'm saying it like that, though, it sounds
a lot better, doesn't it?
But I didn't realize it didn't. There's no bonding in that pyramid.
Yeah, which is very impressive.
Yeah, and it's almost like a marvel. Like people, like there's no reason for it to
to be structurally sound.
Yes, but it is. I mean, it's
it is 90 feet high, made of granite. Designed by Charles Dimmock, and it was built as a memorial to more than 18,000 enlisted men of the Confederate Army buried in the cemetery. So they're not buried under that, but they are in the cemetery, and that's there as a memorial. It was a project supported by the Hollywood Ladies Memorial Association, a group of Southern women dedicated to honoring and caring for the fallen Confederate soldiers.
And I think they do have a big plaque over there.
It says the placing of the capstone at the top of the pyramid has been a source of legend for Richmonders. Legends state it was nearly in completion. No one could determine how to place the capstone atop the lofty 90-foot pyramid. Thomas Stanley, a criminal in the work gang building the pyramid, it's called a work gang, proposed and executed the solution, which involved a dangerous climb at the top. In retellings, locals say Stanley was freed due to his heroic contribution. The only evidence of this is a note reading transferred, added to the release box of Stanley's prison schedule.
That doesn't sound like...
doesn't sound good at all. Transferred to where? We don't know.
This note could be interpreted as an attempt to obscure the extrajudicial granting of his freedom, or that he was simply moved to a different prison.
Aw, I hope that's not what happened to him.
Thanks for your work, Stanley. Here's another prison.
That's right. Get to
build
walk
another
in.
Pyramid.
Build another pyramid.
So then we saw the pyramid, but then we got distracted by the ghost dog, which you just kind of come upon.
As one does.
And it's not even in a very impressive lot. I mean, it's like in a little corner grass area. Mm-hmm. And there's a tomb for a little girl named Florence, who died at the age of 2 of scarlet fever. And for some reason has this giant cast iron dog.
Newfoundland
dog. Newfoundland right? dog.
Yeah. Full size, like life size.
To the side, but like standing watch over her, mm-hmm. her grave.
Who is she? Well, she was only 2, so she wasn't
she was really that, anybody. And that's what they kind of say. They, yeah. they, it's not, and they said that, you know, obviously thousands of young children before antibiotics died of things like scarlet fever, mm-hmm. but so she wasn't, well, I guess I don't understand what's perplexing about it. To me, it seems like it was probably maybe a family pet that looked like that and mm-hmm. she loved it and it made whoever, her parents, I guess, feel better to have somebody watching over her, the doggy yeah. watching over her.
I think it's perplexing to people because of the expense for the time period.
Okay. Yeah. Cause the metal would have been expensive.
Yeah.
Cause it's cast iron.
I believe so. Yeah. yeah. So the two theories that we looked up was that an unnamed merchant that cherished how much Florence had loved his dog chose to grant the statue, which seems like something out of a Dickens novel. And then the second one was that her father, Thomas, was a pacifist, and iron was in short supply during the Civil War, so he had the dog made so that the iron wouldn't go towards the war effort.
And he could have. Maybe his child's death made him that way. Or maybe he was always a pacifist. Or maybe he just didn't want to see any more death. Didn't want to add to mm-hmm. the war machine by...
But the legends around the dog are that people feel like it's not Florence that is the ghost activity that people experience. It's the dog.
Yeah.
So people hear barking, and panting and, you know, that type of thing.
The thing I thought was, the only thing that was odd when we were over there, and I guess, well, later, you took a picture, and I don't think you did it. I don't remember you saying, like, I'm going to get this exact same mm-mm. picture, but when you showed me the picture from the first time you went, it almost looked like in the exact same spot, but everything looked different. And you said it was only 2 years in between the time?
It was 2 years and in the same month. Yeah.
Yeah, and the tree looked bigger, and it was in the same month, but, and I know that happens from year to year, like sometimes things bloom earlier, later, whatever, but it was the exact same angle, but everything looked different somehow.
Mm-hmm. It did look very different. And to me, which again, just could be me reading into it, but the dog looked bigger and fuller and angled slightly differently to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dog is definitely at a different angle and it's definitely bigger.
Yeah.
And you compare the two pictures. You're a slightly different angle for sure. But
yeah, I didn't even mean to take it from the same angle, but.
But it's not that much different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not so different that.
Could just be an optical illusion or the dog is growing.
I mean, it's hard keeping Florence protected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two-year-olds, you got to watch them all the time, you know?
Could be interesting to put put a camera on it and just leave it for a while.
That'd yeah. And then it says people who have ill intents swear to hear a deep guttural growl warning them to stroll somewhere else when they pass by Florence's grave.
Mm.
But I don't know if anyone would ever admit they have ill intents.
Oh, no. Nowadays?
Yeah.
What else did you do?
I think before we left, we, like, if you go to the edge, because there's really some really pretty scenery. There's, you know, you can see the river at one point, you can see the James at one point, and all the rocks and stuff in it. But then you kind of go to the other side, the edge, it's almost like a whole nother cemetery,
mm-hmm.
but there's no trees. It's like the new section, and it just, I don't know, it's just almost like it's out in the field.
For the riffraff.
Yeah, for the non-general presidential types.
So it's really close to the water? Like in our last episode?
Yeah. The newer section is down on the river, and it's the point in the river where it's like rapids. You
yeah,
know?
It's really very cool. It's gorgeous looking.
And we'll put some pictures.
The train tracks down there.
Mm-hmm.
We should look up the whatever you call it, the not the topography, but where you can see where the underground waters flow, mm-hmm. and there's typically always underground water going along around a river. And we've got a giant pyramid there made of granite and water potentially James running River under granite. It. Yeah. So much same way as in Egypt, where weird anomalous things happen when there's water surging underground under granite.
It's the fall line, so it's very active. It was very active where the river was there.
So I feel like that could help fuel strange occurrences.
There were some ne'er-do-wells down playing by the river.
Yeah, we kind of like
the fence.
But they're playing D&D.
Probably. Playing Middle Earth.
Ne'er-do-wells. Yeah, we for a split second were like, let's go down there. And then we saw them. We were like, let's stay up here and take some pictures.
We were going to be ne'er-do-wells too.
Lizzie, look out. Look out for us, would you?
Yeah, she would have.
Oh, what's the thing that we saw? Like, what is that called? The really pretty place
we went. They had stained glass windows.
Yeah.
And I was like, Gretchen, let's go in here. And she said, hard pass.
Did I not?
I was very upset.
You could have gone and used the spirit box.
Oh, we went in there anyway, of course. Oh. But, because, you know, Jamie wanted to. But when she couldn't believe I said hard pass. She was like, did you just say hard pass?
We're on an investigation.
And I was like, okay. And then we went. Wow. But it was very pretty.
She didn't want to happen upon a grieving widow.
Oh, that is what I said. One, yes. Mm-hmm. No, I just knew it. It was like mausoleum-ish. Is that what you call it? When they're like in the wall, kind of.
Yeah.
And I could just picture some lady with a black veil crying, and I couldn't bring out the cat toys at a time like that.
She was probably from Sicily and just, you know.
Yeah, well, of course. She was an immigrant, of course. What? Because they're always mourning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They are. Why don't we talk about the property that it was on?
So, if you know anything about Virginia history, or you're from Virginia, you've probably heard of the Byrd family,
mm-hmm.
who are several generations of, you know, rich guy who came to Virginia and developed and owned a lot of property.
Westover Plantation.
So the land that the Hollywood Cemetery is on was once owned by William Byrd III. And William Byrd III was the third generation Byrd, who was a general, he was a politician, he was third a planter. Bird. But he was also a notorious gambler.
Uh-oh.
And he was allegedly the one who initiated the first major horse race in the colonies. So he is the one who got, you know, the gambling horse races going here. And
what's it called? Third Bird's Horses?
Third Bird's. I hope it was. I cannot confirm.
Well, we got to start that one. Rumor. Yeah. And there might have been a vampire and he might have fled Richmond.
And he squandered a lot of the Byrd fortune, as you can imagine, because of his gambling problem. You know, he had some lottery problems.
They were a big deal. Like,
yes. I mean, and he had to sell off a lot of their enslaved property, enslaved people, a lot of his property. And the Hollywood Cemetery was one of the things that the parcels of land that got sold off, and it changed hands a few times before it became a cemetery.
Yeah.
But it's just, the piece of land is just kind of very rich in Virginia history anyway,
yeah,
even before the cemetery
totally
was
is.
Built.
I agree.
And I think the Byrd family was involved in settling Richmond, or?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's William Byrd III that you're talking about, his grandfather, but yeah, founded Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
But they had that Westover Plantation on Route 5.
Right, yeah.
Which is still in existence and huge. But yeah, huge family, and yeah. And many people.
Mm-hmm. So there's probably a lot of enslaved people buried on the property as well.
Yeah, I would imagine so. That we don't know about. Because didn't, in some of the readings, it says, like, there's way more people buried there than we even know
right,
about.
I think it said there may be an extra 11,000 people that
something are... Something crazy like that interred there. Yeah.
All right, that sounds great. Well, thank you both for going out in the field and making this happen and making all of our dreams come true.
Anytime. It's a new segment called Jamie and Gretchen.
We do what we want.
Amateur ghost hunters.
Know how to turn on cat toys.
All you have to do is do about 3 more of these and you'll get a show on the Travel Channel. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very easy now.
Sisterhood of the Traveling
Pants.
Suitcase full of things we don't know how to use.
Get traveling, that blindfold out of there.
Traveling cat bowls.
Even...
This is our gang sign.
So, anyway, next week's episode will also be taping. We're gonna tape it. we're gonna tape that one probably on my birthday. Birthday's coming up.
Yay!
So we'll tape that, and it'll be on time travel. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.